Back in 1939, Minnesota residents Ray and Esther Dowdat grabbed a camera and made a film. But it was no home movie. They made a narrative film with characters and a beginning, middle, and end. Their short silent film is called Cologne, from the diary of Ray and Esther. It's a document of daily life in their small town. 11 years ago, Ray and Esther's daughter took Cologne to Minnesota Historical Society film archivist Bonnie Wilson for safekeeping. Wilson talks about the film as she watches images roll by, images of German settlers and Minnesota farmland, and the innovative way the Dowdats showed the passing of time.
Since it's a silent film, the Dr. Raymond Dowdat decided to use the fiction of his wife writing in a diary. So every time a title comes on screen, it's on a piece of lined paper, and that's his wife writing on the lined paper her diary before she leaves town.
Wilson says amateur films as carefully constructed as the diary of Ray and Esther are rare, but films from the period are not uncommon.
Throughout the state and throughout the nation, there were people using the new medium of 16mm film to amuse themselves and tell stories and things like that. So it wasn't unheard of, but they're very hard to find. A lot of them were stuck away in attics and deteriorated, and others were just thrown out. And so we're always eager to see a new example of it.
Wilson is able to preserve this and another film through the National Film Preservation Foundation's Treasures of American Film Archives project. The project is providing funding for archives across the country to preserve 45 orphan films, films without owners or that have fallen from copyright protection. Orphan films include newsreels, early silent films, documentaries, and experimental work. There are perhaps thousands of orphan films languishing in archives around the country, but film historians have no complete count of these non-commercial films or how many of them have already been lost. Of the orphan films that are known, many are dying a slow death. Many archives acquire these films from well-meaning people who find them in their basement, for example. Since those films have not been stored properly, they're already in poor shape. And preserving film is very expensive, up to $15,000 for a silent black and white feature. But for now, thanks to the Treasures of American Film Archives project, the Diary of Ray and Esther, and another film called Hampton Alexander will be preserved.
So, that's what I have to do. Because in the morning, it'll be all over. I'll be gone.
Like the Diary of Ray and Esther, Hampton Alexander is a unique document of life in Minnesota. Hampton Alexander, which took 2 years to make, was finished in 1974. It's a fictional narrative about a young black man who returns home to St. Paul to seek revenge for his father's murder. Bonnie Wilson says the political context for Hampton Alexander is as compelling as the film itself.
This is the Selby Dale neighborhood in the middle of St. Paul, and it was devastated by the Freeway 94. A lot of the people that lived on Rondo, for example, had to move, and so that had happened just prior to this movie being made. So the issue of highway building and intruding on the neighborhood was very fresh in people's minds.
The construction of Interstate 94 right through the Rondo neighborhood and the gentrification of surrounding areas were fresh in the minds of the filmmakers, particularly Tim McKinney, who was a high school student when he wrote the script. The film's producer, Bobby Hickman, says McKinney's script and the making of the film was all part of community consciousness raising. For 20 years, Hickman ran the Inner City Youth League, a group that was very involved with the Selby Dale neighborhood and its youth. Hickman says he helps at-risk kids grapple with life through the arts. He says Hampton Alexander was the perfect project to bring the community together.
For the most part, everybody in that film was from the community, you know, and that was what made it so. In the community, there was an excitement, there was an electricity going on. when we were making that film. We would be on top of buildings and people would gather around. What are you guys doing?
Hickman had a small role in the film and served as the sound technician. He says after he retired from the Youth League, he lost track of the film. But a few years ago, his daughter brought it to him after finding it in the attic of the Inner City Youth League offices.
And so I thought, wow, you know, this is historic. It represents sweat, tears in people's lives and all that we went through to put this together. I should never let it get out of our hands again.
To ensure it wouldn't be lost again, Hickman donated the film to the Minnesota Historical Society, itself now on the edge of the Selby Dale area. Hampton Alexander has been shown a few times since. At the screenings, audience members can reminisce about the old neighborhood, its people, buildings, and fashions, or for others, learn a bit of history about a neighborhood they may have just driven through on I-94, never stopping, never knowing about that community's history. Now, at least one of the Minnesota films will be more widely available. The Diary of Ray and Esther will be featured on a DVD, along with other restored orphan films, also chosen through the National Film Preservation Foundation grant. The DVD will be shown for the first time on April 27th at a gala premiere at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. It will then be made available to schools and libraries across the country. Further rounds of orphan film preservation grants are expected in coming years. I'm Marisa Helms, Minnesota Public Radio.